Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are no longer in the studio. And I think what happened when we were in the studio would make Tim never record in person ever again.
Well, no. It's the squirrel sign.
It was you're standing by the squirrel sign.
I'm standing by the squirrel sign.
Okay.
Right. It makes you feel any better, Tim. I've personally killed by hand every squirrel I've seen since then.
It's somehow their fault.
I think I'm misinterpreting it, John.
I think that's like, what Tim said, though. I mean, it was you see a squirrel, and that's what happens. And yeah, no, I think that's valid, John. Keep doing
it. Wait, I see one outside right now. Is that even a gunshot noise here, please, Jake?
I think during the recording, during the studio sesh, I was the most obsessed with getting a swirl sign of all of us. And I didn't get one the whole weekend. But the first deer sign I did get on my way to work on...
You mean squirrel sign?
What did I say?
You said deer sign.
Deer sign.
That's not a thing, Kelly.
That's all I was fucking looking at. There were no squirrels. It was just all goddamn deer. Scrambled my brain.
For sure, Maryland.
The first squirrel sign I did get on my way to work on the following Tuesday was a squirrel standing on top of a cross at a church. Which was pretty badass.
Right. Oh, right.
The blessing.
So maybe...
Run it out.
Maybe your new character is the savior. He's the messiah.
You texted me about that, right?
Yeah, I did.
I did message you about it.
Yeah. Or it means you'll be in heaven soon.
Yeah.
No, that was a squirrel blessing.
It was a squirrel blessing.
It's the highest thing you can... Or the best one you can find.
And maybe Tim's new character is the blessing.
There it is.
Kelly was then brutally crucified several days later.
By a squirrel.
By squirrels.
Why?
By multiple squirrels.
For squirrel sins.
The atoning squirrel. That's right.
Atoning squirrel.
Yeah.
He has to atone or?
No, it says a great sacrifice must be made. The question is, do you have the strength to make it?
Dang.
I don't know. We're kind of. Batting zero right now.
I feel like you see that squirrel to me here, like, as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death.
We want to open up this episode with a bit of a conversation, sort of from a storytelling point. So we decided to, I'm sure people have questions about this, but we decided to bring Tim's new character in because of a few reasons here. One of them being that we were all recording in a cabin that weekend, and it would have been really, really crappy to, like, make Tim sit off to the side in the cabin while we were, like, trying to find his new character and stuff like that.
I was all for it.
I know.
You're going to send me to the abandoned shed next door.
Hey, it was a house.
It was a whole house, yeah. It was also really cool. You would have enjoyed being in there. And another thing is that, like, it's almost just kind of perfect that, you know, that there was somebody there to help because, like, you know, Pathfinder is about being a hero. And it would make sense that in the situation they were in, these slaves had a hero to sort of keep their spirits high and stuff like that. So it made sense that there would be somebody in there for Tim to play. And, you know, he jokingly said, can one of my characters be one of the slaves? I'm like, yeah, of course. Now that I think about it, you absolutely should have had minuses because of Addlebrain, but I whatever.
Yeah,
all of them are Addlebrained beyond belief. So,
but yeah, Tim's first instinct, and I think most of our first instincts were, you know, we already brought in a character directly after Adelar, that this time we probably would have actually wanted to wait. But then, like, the more we thought about it, it was like we're. In the quarry, there are hundreds of people who hate the Scarlet Triad running away from this thing. It made perfect sense that somebody from this population would be, like Jake said, the hero or a hero to step up.
Wrong place, wrong time, got captured, looking for their chance.
Yeah, because think about the alternative if we had waited. We get back to the city and. Find a new recruit, basically some rando. This was like the least random person for it to be, and it was in a perfect situation.
Yeah, and it happened just after, you know, that one cage got opened too.
Right.
So I mean, it was like if none of the cages were open, then we'd be, you know, fucked. But
yeah, sorry guys.
Slaver suddenly has a change of heart.
Just
nay.
Wait. is this what I've been doing to people?
Oh, this sucks.
And the way we brought in Grimshaw just made sense, too, because he had a whole character, you know, focused on taking down the Scarlet Triad. So, of course, Grimshaw would have been the guy that was tracking them, and he had a whole backstory for that, too. So another thing, too, is that, like, you'll find when we get to the end of this episode, but the original place that you guys were supposed to have this combat, that would not have been possible. There would be no way that you guys would have been able to bring somebody else in. Wow. Because it took place in the last room of this place, and there's not 32 people just waiting to get out and, you know, do something. And it makes sense that because you guys went and rested and then came back and then changed the location of the fight, that it allowed for that. When we get to the point and you see the room where you were supposed to fight Laszlo, there's no way that I could have finessed a new character coming in at that exact moment. Tim, how are you feeling? You've had 2 weeks since the cabin trip. Where's your mind right now?
Well, let's see. The first stage of grief is denial, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm still there.
You're still in denial?
Still in denial.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't tried to barter with you, I don't think.
Not yet.
There was a lot of bargaining happening between episodes of how we were going to not kill him.
That's true.
That's
true. Yeah, there's something too. I appreciate you bringing that up because, like, whenever we've had a character death, even in not recording, okay, even in like our home games and stuff like that, we always are the kind of people that, like, we don't want the characters to die, so we're like, do we do everything right?
Yeah.
I was asking Tim. I'm like, I was like, wait, did you save from healing or did you save from your bleed effect? Because then you wouldn't have bled out. I was like, I was trying to find a way to make sure that, like, I accidentally killed him or something.
Yeah.
I will totally take a mistake as a GM.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? That was such a valid question because I was so far down in initiative that when I got moved, like, it felt like two rounds had went by before my death save, but it was really just I got moved in initiative because I went down. So it felt like I should have had another attempt to save from the bleed, but...
Yeah, yep.
We really combed over it.
Yeah, we did. But, you know, I'm the kind of person that I've had a bunch of character deaths. I've had a lot in my 20-something years of playing, so it sucks, but then I always go... But how about this new character?
And it's kind of weird how half of them are Tim.
You've had a lot of character deaths. Half of them are Tims.
No, I mean, like, my own personal characters have died plenty of times. And each time, like, it sucks. But then I bring in something cool, and, you know. And, you know, there's a ton more books ever since even Grimshaw came out. By the way, I was doing the math on this. Grimshaw came in at episode 86.
Okay.
If I remember correctly, this is episode 176. That means that Grimshaw has been in more episodes than Adalar has then.
Wow. Oh, like, wow. By like five or something.
Yeah. Now yeah. You guys have spent more time with Adalar because you spent a whole month in the Mwangi with him.
Right.
But so in game, yeah, you guys have spent more time with Adalar, but in the real world, he hasn't been here as long,
except for Kezra. You know, Kezra knew him.
Yeah, that's the one exception. That's the best friends forever. But so let's get into what your guys' situation is now. You have defeated Laszlo, and the Poisoner, and literally two rounds before that, I think you took down the Interlocutor.
Yes.
You all stand there now with the fight finished. What are you guys doing?
Well, what's crazy is Benson now, for the first time in this fight, is now covered in more blood than his. Because he kind of went on a tear there. But Benson is going to look at our new dwarf friend, whose name I completely remember.
I never introduced myself.
Okay. He is going to simply instruct you to get the rest of the cages open and save what you can. And he's going to run to the other cage.
It's too late.
And he motions to the one cage, because he had just opened this up before Kezra had his fall and thankfully was saved from death. He's like, they're all dead. We were too late.
See, Benson's torn here, because he wants to go bury Grimshaw. But we don't know if there's anything else in this compound. I mean, players, we know. But, Benson's is going to leave Grimshaw's shield on his chest, lay him out flat, close his eyes.
I have Grimshaw's shield.
Oh, I forgot you'd taken it.
You put that shield down.
And I took the sword and the board.
How dare give it back. Would you stand where he stood?
All right,
and he looks down at, like, the weapon glowing. This newfound power he has, he looks down at the shield, you know, finally actually taking a look at these items that he hastily grabbed.
Your friend, he fought well. You all did. You did something that I could not have done myself. I thank you. And I know these here who have made it.
Any motions to the ones that were freed and that made it?
I know they are grateful too. It's been a hard many days. My brain is still foggy from all the drugs they put into us. But my senses, I feel as if they've never been sharper. I don't believe there is anyone left. I think this is it. I couldn't say for sure. But the faces.
And he looks, you know, at Lazlin, he looks over at the interlocutor, looks at the poisoner.
These faces are familiar. I think this was the rest.
Where is Elkwood currently doing right now?
He is, Elkwood, like, well, you know, he's, God, I forget how freaking big this quarry is. but he is at the one cage, because I cannot remember, it's been a couple weeks, but like the cage was opened.
Yes.
And it was kind of like at that moment that it was too late, and he's just like, it was like at the moment he was prepared to like get someone's hand or try to, and it just goes limp in his hands, and he just kind of like stares, and like it's just kind of like this harrowing feeling for him that he actually just vomits, because it brings back some bad memories for him when he used to live in Absalom. And because he lived in a place called the Puddles.
Oh, right, the Puddles.
Which was a poor part of Absalom for a time, which that the tide rolls in and rolls back out. But that also leaves, you know, people, if, you know, they were killed, they were tossed into it, then tide will take them out. Stuff like that, but it led to horrible smells and stuff, and he never really likes water. I mean, it was also in the Mwangi. He had trouble swimming and just didn't like dealing with it. So he kind of has this moment of bringing... It's just like, it's kind of all coming back, and then after seeing Grimshaw, like, he's not doing the best mentally. But to a point that he's almost feverishly trying to pull someone out, but they're just dead, and he gives up. There has to be someone.
Yeah, you guys look it over, none of the bodies are struggling.
Yeah, it kind of, that's honestly a big fear for me as well, is that sort of thing of drowning, and then like, you can see light, and then you just can't get your head above water. Like, you're trapped and just pushed back under. And how many people would you say are in these cages?
The two cages left combined is about 16 people. So, 8 and 8 or so.
Oh, okay. Okay, it's less than I thought. There was a lot more.
Oh, thank God.
I mean, I'm just honestly seeing the size of the quarry, I was expecting Jake to be like, and there's like, 50 for each.
The size of these things is quite big, but they had it was 32 total. So you guys broke two cages out. So yeah. Kezzer, where you at?
See Kezra. He ran off to the complete other side of the quarry, and he gets up. He calls little Kezra to heal him because he's bad. He just turned back from a dragon for the first time. Very, very strange sensation, and he comes back and he has awful arrow wounds, really bad. So he heals himself up a bit, kind of composes himself because everything happened so quickly. He hasn't really made the connection that Grimshaw is dead. He was a dragon during the time his senses were in other places. So he summons his wings real quick, flies across the quarry just because he wants to get there quickly. So it's just it flies over Vemir and Elk, and he just kind of lands right next to Grimshaw and just sees this just mess where these blades just went into him. And he just crumbles down to his knees and just stares into him. And that's just what he does right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's practically bisected.
Right.
I think my character is going to start making his way over, because he still holds his, his weapons. He thinks he should probably, return them, or at least, submit them to you all. But as he's walking over there, he looks around.
If you all don't mind, I am a worshipper of Gorim, and when a comrade dies in combat, there's a song that we sing to honor them and their fight on the battlefield. It is typically sung right after the fight, for that is where they have fallen, and that is where they should be honored.
He looks around, seeing if anyone objects.
No.
Okay.
Kezra doesn't even acknowledge you.
Yeah.
It's kind of we're all in our own world right now.
Yeah. So things in the quarry, they get really still. There's probably no wind. Maybe the groans, perhaps, of the prisoners a bit.
The water continues rushing.
So just the rushing water.
Just the rushing water, yeah.
And the dwarf, he takes the Morning Star and the shield, and he begins rhythmically smashing them together. And then with that tempo, he begins to sing.
Blood, not rust. On their blade, they fought and were slain. Blood, not rust, on their shield, a death that we crave. The clash of steel are hymn. The cries of pain are prayer. Blood, not rust, on their blade. Glory they carry to their grave.
And as he does the last clash, he ends the song. Bri Grimshaw, and he lays down the shield and the Morning Star.
These are yours, friend. Thank you.
And then he just steps back.
Well, Tim, have a hero point, buddy.
Thank you.
That was good. Somebody was one of the other slaves that you knew, played by Steve Buscemi. His name is Jackie.
Oh, okay.
He's standing there. I remember all these people have Addlebrain poisoning, and so he's just like, where do we even go? Is there a safe place? I'm not too sure. A lot of people here are kind of lost, and you can see some of the now freed slaves, some of the rescuees are just sort of stumbling around. The Addlebrain has severely hindered their ability to like comprehend things, and you can see some of them that are faring better than others are trying to be like, oh, let's sit here in the shade. Sit here in the shade.
Could I do a medicine check on Addlebrain?
Yeah.
Okay. It's okay, I'll get you more drugs.
22.
22. I'll go back and read it, because you would definitely know Addlebrain from all the times that they've been giving it to you.
Right.
You got first-hand experience.
Yeah. First-hand experience in this drug. So here's the thing, is that... poisoners use toxins like Addlebrain to keep captured prisoners docile and compliant for short periods of time until they can be properly shackled and imprisoned. Addlebrain is distilled from a hallucinogenic lichen that can be often found growing in the sewers below particularly large cities like Katapesh. Once soaked in special reagents and then dried, a dose of Addlebrain must either be lit with flame or tossed into a fire to activate, whereupon it unleashes a cloud of toxin as normal for an inhaled poison. So we'll go back to the stages here. So stage 1 is enfeebled and stupefied 1 for 10 minutes. Stage 2 is enfeebled 2 and stupefied 2 for 1 hour. Stage 3 is fatigued, enfeebled 4, and stupefied 4 for 1 day. So you imagine with so much exposure to it, because they just gave this to them constantly in order to keep them, you know, in line, that these guys are, these 16 people now are clearly suffering from, like, the worst stage of it.
Okay.
Completely stupefied, completely enfeebled. Some of them are, like, stumbling. They're tired beyond belief, because they've been starved and everything. It's the worst off you can be.
Yeah.
It doesn't say anything about like what you could use to get rid of it, but it is a poison, so
it's probably rest.
Good rest, I should say,
without being subjected to it constantly.
Your fortitude's down when you don't sleep well. Life tip.
So my character is going to kind of look to you all and be like,
"Do you have healer's tools? I can help them. I haven't had any of the equipment that I'm used to."
Benson tosses him his gloves.
Okay.
Is it apparent that this quarry is going to fill up with water and we probably need to get out soon?
Make me a crafting check.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's
ill, really. Like, not easily.
29.
29. These things have already filled up, but the quarry is starting to fill up. You feel like it would fill up in, like, a matter of hours.
I know, hours, okay.
Really?
So you're not in immediate danger, but you can tell that there's, like, a puddle starting to form.
Okay. So I can work quickly. I can treat up to 4 people in a single action.
Just to be able to get their fortitude to do something.
Well, I could actually start to remove their enfeebled condition.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Oh, shit. I mean, you... Okay, so I'm just thinking logically, since we probably want to get out here quick, they heal maybe a couple that can lead the rest. Like, we'll get to you later. Like, but right now we just need to get the hell out or check things first.
They do that, Benson is going to start going in, because if this whole place floods, so is the tunnels, and we need to figure out what was in her room.
That's true.
True.
Benson.
Yeah.
Help me with this. And he pulls out, like, bandages. And he starts kind of, like, Grimshaw's not, like, ripped in half, but, like, he's gonna, like, start kind of putting him and dressing his wounds to just make
keep him together.
decent and not just like exposed. So he's like, Benson, help me get these around him. So we like work together, like lift his body, get these dressed nice and tight, get his armor off of him for the time being. So like, you know, we're taking 10-15 minutes to do this, basically a treat medicine.
Okay.
And so when he's like decent and in an honorable state, Kezra lifts up the staff of the dead. And like he gives it like a hesitant look for a minute. And then channels energy into it. And he slowly lowers it to Grimshaw's chest. And he'll cast Peaceful Rest from the staff.
Oh, nice.
Which formerly is Gentle Repose.
Yeah, Gentle Repose, yeah.
So his body just gets like
a
warmth of energy that just wards it from infection or decomposition.
Bugs will
leave him alone. He's just left in a perfect state.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kezra stands up, washes blood off into the running water. All right, I'm ready.
Yeah, Benson starts to make his way to the back room of this area.
Okay. As you walk by Elaslin's corpse.
Yeah, loot the body.
Yeah, check that. She had. I'll just tell you this because you guys have equivalent things of hers. Plus one striking flaming composite longbow.
Okay.
A
sweet.
Plus one striking scimitar. Plus one resilient leather armor.
Okay.
She also has a ring of fire resistance.
Is she kitted out like me? My God.
At this point. I know, right?
That's everything I have.
Game recognizes game.
Wait, what was before the ring of resistance?
Plus one resilient leather armor.
Yep.
She also has a key ring that has a bunch of keys in it. You can tell one of them would go to the locks that were on the quarry cages. She also has something that I'll see if I can find a picture of it here.
With the bow, plus one or plus two?
Plus one.
Yeah, it's actually weaker than mine.
It is, but it has flaming on it, so different type. On her belt, wrapped up in like a little like rope sack, she has what appears to be a fist size Black Star Sapphire.
Is it magical?
It certainly looks magical.
Arcana. Ooh, nice. 38.
Wow. Okay.
What a 19.
Yeah, somehow you've heard of the Eye of the Wise. This fist-size 12-rayed Black Star Sapphire is sacred to Yurel, the elven goddess of magic and jewels.
Ooh.
Accounts of its creation attribute its crafting to a circle of her worshippers. It has a few different effects. If you touch the Eye of the Wise to a gem that's worth at least 10 gold pieces, whereupon the Eye of the Wise assumes the appearance of the touched gemstone. While this connection is active, the carriers of the Eye of the Wise and the other gemstone can communicate telepathically with one another over any distance. As long as both are on the same plane. This connection is broken if the other gemstone is damaged. If the Eye of the Wise becomes attuned to another gemstone, or if the bearer of the Eye of the Wise, it dismisses the activation. Then there's an interact action. You hold the Eye of the Wise up to your own eye and peer through it. The Eye of the Wise grows transparent and grants you a +2 item bonus to decipher writing, disable a device, identify magic, pick a lock, seek, or sense motive. You sustain this activation so long as you hold the gem in place.
That's cool as hell.
Doesn't say that there's a limit to that, so if you ever want a +2, just put it up to your eye like a monocle.
Well, damn.
Wow.
Well, I'm guessing awesome. This is a portal key.
Yeah, that sounds like a portal key.
Yep, no religion check needed. You think that this would go towards the Jewel Gate. And now set his ring.
Cool. I have a wise badass.
Yeah, it's cool. Like I said, I remember finding a picture of it. I'll see if I can find a photo, but it is it's quite cool. That's all she had on her person.
Yeah, that's all. Just the eye of the wise.
Just the eye.
Just the last legendary item. That's what it looks like. Yeah. So I put a picture of it. So the picture actually has it on like a red velvet pillow. It looks like a big old
Looks like an egg.
It looks like an egg.
Huh.
It's not. I'll tell you. So you also have a walkie-talkie forever.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
So that's what she has on her. If you're ready, I can pull you guys into the room where she was.
All right, yeah, I think I'm ready.
Okay.
The big horrible creature didn't have anything on it, did it?
Nope.
Just blood.
I think it disappeared anyway. I think it turned into.
It turned into goo.
Turned into goo.
Oh, that's right.
I want to say that my watching you guys roll in all your dice trays for the whole weekend again. Made me actually finally want a dice tray. But as you know, I'm very particular on I have to roll on hardwood.
Okay.
But I wanted it to be something portable.
Okay.
So I got it's like this leather doodad. Okay. I already took it apart. They actually roll up into each other. It has a rollable wooden inlay with a leather for the collapsible piece of leather. Nice. That just cinches up at the corners, and once you roll up the leather, you just wrap the wood inlay around it, and then it has a little belt.
Very cool.
That's neat. That's cute.
Yeah, very cool. So I still get to roll on wood, even when I don't have access to it.
I only roll on mahogany.
Where'd you get it from, Kel?
I got it from someone on Etsy. And he was actually really cool because he had multiple options in the pictures, but he forgot to have a drop down for picking which color combos you wanted of like wood and leather. So I just like ordered it because I was like, whatever, maybe it just is only one. This is misrepresented. And he like messaged me right away. He was like, hey, I just realized I didn't put the options on there for the tray colors. So tell me what you want and I'll give you free engraving. So I got free engraving.
Whoa.
He engraved the leather belt and the wood inlay, which is very cool.
Sweet.
I didn't have anything on mine, so I thought about it for a little bit, and I decided to go with a reference. Well, I'll see if you guys know the reference. But okay. It's like, good, bad, I'm the guy with the dice. What is that from?
What? Okay. Dice.
It's not our podcast, so that sounds like a waste of an engraving.
Well, he doesn't actually say dice. In this reference, he says something else.
I'm the guy with the mice.
I'm the guy with the gun.
Yeah, I figured.
I thought it was I'm the guy with the gun.
Oh man, I'm really, really, really disappointed if none of the four of you know that. I would expect Tim.
Wait,
not
is
to
it
know
Evil
it.
Dead?
Damn right it is. Army of Darkness.
Yeah, Army of Darkness. Okay, yeah. For
Army
I was like,
of Darkness.
Yes.
Like, that sounds like an Ash Williams quote.
It does sound like an Ash quote.
I love Ash. I love Bruce Campbell. So that's all. God, yeah. That's what I thought of. So that's I got engraved. So very cool.
Bruce Campbell's a joy.
I love him. He's my favorite.
Great guy.
Friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod, Bruce Campbell. Everybody's a friend, and we just keep saying they are. Okay, you guys get to the sluice room, called because you see a giant sluice in the back. The northeast wall... Oh, wait, I actually wrote a thing for this. Hold on. When you finally make your way to the last room, you hear the echoes of water rushing down the hall. The stairs go down about 15 feet and open into a 30-foot-tall room with a complex iron sluice mechanism on the far side. The water is rushing out of this room with immense force and is flowing to the south, where a grate funnels the torrent outside into the quarry.
Guess we could turn that and stop it. Yeah.
Yep. So there is also a large desk sits in the northwest corner of the room, and as you first glance, it looks like it is piled with maps and notes and letters of all kind.
Oh my. I'll start rummaging I'll through
investigate.
It.
Yeah.
All right, so Sluice or notes first?
I'll do Sluice, Kezzer gets notes.
Yeah.
All right, as you start to close the sluice, the water starts to pour up, and you have to take the papers off the desk before they they get ruined. That's in the book, by the way.
God damn it.
That's in the book. It's like, what are you doing? if they close the sluice, it might ruin the papers.
Why would they put valuable paperwork where it could get...
Kezzer was holding the papers.
Yeah. So you guys begin closing the sluice. It takes like a minute to do because these things are heavy. You have to have Elkwood's like knowledge of how like mechanisms work to be able to like pretty much like disable these things. Yeah. While you're doing that, when I have a little imagination land flashback, oh, I love here.
Imagination land.
Oh no!
Yeah, we see Laslin writing these. And you can kind of see a flashback of her, like, pacing back and forth and writing and talking to people. And here you sort of hear her voice over through all this.
I am so close, I can taste it. Alceta's ring will be mine before long. Vaz and Bajorak's failures were great, but not a killing blow to this operation. I've amassed over 30 slaves for the market, and now I can reap the payments all by myself. Vaklis does this all for free, so he is of no expense. If these worms come to my door, I have forces beyond reckoning that will surely drown them in their blood. Drusian can make quick work of them. If he fails me, I have made an agreement with Jagaki that he will turn them into one of his slaves for himself. I can see no greater end to their pitiful lives than that. If Jagaki's power is fruitless, then I shall simply drown the slaves and start anew. If they try to stop me, they will need to divide their forces. Any loss of product is merely an expense, one that I hope destroys their will to live, should any of them survive me and the Velstrak. I hope to be rid of this thing soon. Its constant elation and moaning fueled by pain is unnerving.
Flash forward a little bit.
I know they are planning something. They plan to use this ring as a weapon somehow. My claim may be unsubstantiated, but whatever it is they are planning is something big. When I leave here, I shall meet with Ilstra on the Five Kings Mountains. When I present her with the Eye of the Wise, I will earn her favor. She will reveal more to me about their plan. I am certain she has already made significant progress reaching that gate.
Fast forward again.
What are we doing here? These fools plan to leave Alceta's ring untouched. If I was in charge, I would launch an immediate attack on Breach Hill to secure the portals at once at their source. Every time I've suggested such course of action, they give some pitiful excuse like doing so would alert our benefactor. Gases, if the person aims to gain so much from us, then we should show initiative and destroy Breach Hill now. It would be in their best interest. For now, I am content. I shall bide my time. Perhaps with this bribery, Ilstra will work with me to carry out an attack. We shall not fail if we work together.
And through these flashbacks, you see her like arguing with like some of her underlings and like hurting slaves and like you see Bajorak like handing her the Velstrak interlocutor. You see all this stuff just sort of happening throughout these flashbacks. And the tribute that she had, or the bribe, was the Eye of the Wise.
And that was to Ilstra in the Five Kings Mountains.
Yep. Ilstra. Ilssrah.
Five Kings Mountains. Oh, God.
Wait a minute. So when Grimshaw came up, we were like, we're going to his home city. And now you've got a dwarf character and we're going to the fucking Five Kings Mountains.
You don't know he's from there.
You know,
Dwarf's from the Five King Mountains.
Okay. Maybe you'll have to ask him about where he's from.
Hey, you from here?
Oh my gosh. The listener's not going to believe that I haven't read the books. Like, I don't know what to say.
I find it kind of entertaining, like, whenever you get villains like this, though, that she's like, Man, yeah, this interlocutor gives me the fucking creeps, man.
Right?
Like, I'm bad, but this thing.
Just blast Link and park his room all day.
Wait, I do that.
Jake, where did you get that skin graft?
It is skin. I love the skin.
Sean Kusan gave it to me. Shut up. So in her desk, you also find five rubies worth 100 silver pieces each.
Ooh.
An excellent wood carving of a leering hyena worth 300 silver pieces. And you also find a messenger's ring bearing the symbol of the Scarlet Triad.
Of course. Mm.
Useless.
Stop on it.
Throw it in the water.
So it just says regular messenger's ring, level 9 item.
Yeah, it's a pretty decent item. It's just,
oh yeah.
I mean, is there a way to scrub that symbol
off? Etch that off.
Yeah, yeah. Just polish, reforge it. The silver signet ring changes to match the insignia of a leader or organization you serve, or your own face if you serve no one else. Grants a +2 item bonus to diplomacy checks and lets you cast message as an arcane innate spell at will. Activate Dispatch Messenger. 1 minute concentrate once per day. The ring casts Animal Messenger to your specification. The animal is a magical creature that springs from the ring and its appearance suits the iconography or heraldry of the leader or organization represented by the ring.
What is it called again?
Messenger's Ring.
Messenger's Ring. Okay. What was the Ring of Resistance against?
Fire.
It was fire, what? Fire
5? I believe it was just 5.
Base level.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was just base level.
Okay.
That's a shame, but none of us, used fire against her.
No lightning from me.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. I was like, man, didn't help her at all. Alright.
Nothing in the sleuth room, is there? No.
Nope.
Like, I'm in the sleuth room. Oh, God.
No, so I want to explain that now you guys see why trying to bring in a new character into this room would have been impossible, because it is...
is this the room we were going to fight her in?
Yep.
And the interlocutor?
Yes, and the interlocutor, yeah.
Oh, shit. Oh, no.
So, yeah, this room is only 45 feet wide and 25 feet... 45 feet long, 25 feet wide, and it's 30 feet tall, because it has, like, the sluice.
Right.
You guys trying to fight that thing in this room while it has, like, that, like, it had that aura and stuff in it, like, you guys would not have been able to avoid it, yeah.
It had reach.
So
Kezzer could not have gone all dragon.
Nope.
No.
Yeah.
Whoa. Now, is this something you could tell us, Jake, that if we fought in that room, like for instance, like the interlocutor, if we tried to sneak past him or something to get in here, was there a possible way of, like, attacking her without it being involved or something, or no?
Not really. She sticks around that thing and sticks in this room, so that she was using that thing as a giant meat wall.
Yeah.
But and I mean the thing too is that, like, if the way the fight explains itself is that, like, if you guys try to close the sluice, they attack that person.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so it's either, like, you get somebody to go outside and split your forces, or you just try to take the hits and just try to, like, that's the thing, is that it's mean. Like, they're slavers. They're there to make your life a living hell. So yeah.
You said it took a full minute, right?
It took if you close part of the sluice, then it lowers the frequency or the onslaught of water.
Makes sense. Okay.
But yeah, I mean, for you guys, you guys couldn't close the sluice, so it came as fast as it could.
Yeah.
These slavers are not honorable men.
Nope.
What?
No, in fact. Furthermore, if you guys go to the last room, this is where these snipers were hiding out at one point. I will go ahead and...
Oh, down that hallway, right?
Yeah, down the hallway.
Oh, there's two Bensons!
I must right. fight him to the death.
No, don't fight him!
It's only me!
The battle will last 8 days.
They just keep casting heal wounds on themselves.
This natural chamber in the quarry provides an excellent view of the pit 30 feet below. A small chamber is visible through an opening to the east, and a long passage through the stone leads to the west. That's where you guys came from. Huh. It's just a little like hangout area. You can see some of the personal effects of the two elves. So they were hanging out here.
Is there a mini fridge?
Did we loot the body of those elves?
I don't know if you did. They just had...
They had a
plus one striking longbow, so
and a pick. Well, one
and a plus
had
one
a
pick,
pick,
yeah,
because the other one broke.
Oh, right. So one plus one pick. In this room, most of the supplies in the storeroom aren't exactly valuable to you guys. You find a crate contains 20 sets of manacles, each marked with a symbol of the Scarlet Triad. You go through, it's just more foodstuffs. But you do find what appears to be 2 dozen bottles of hard liquor.
Holy shit.
For 100 gold pieces.
What kind of liquor are you talking?
I imagine Lavagulin.
Hey, good enough.
It's good scotch.
It's good enough.
It is good enough.
So that's all you guys find in here. Other than that, if you guys walk around at all... At a certain point, if you guys are looking around, you do find piles and piles of human and dwarf bones. Looks like they are freshly picked.
Inner Lector.
Because didn't you say he had, like, faces stuff on his skin and all that stuff?
He himself was, like... half of his own person.
Yeah.
That was just like an illusion that would happen that like Velstrax, like,
gotcha.
You would see yourself in it. Like, it was horrifying.
Do these two skeletons have any like effects, clothes?
No, not skeletons, just piles of bones.
Piles of bones.
This is.
Yes.
Basically, were they gnawed on?
It looks like they were gnawed on.
Figured.
Raza Rakshasa.
Yeah. You're putting together that maybe Vaklish had a nice little.
Yeah.
Human or dwarf-sized snack a few times after you killed them all.
Yeah, I mean, it was a Rakshasa, so, I mean...
Yep.
8 people.
It's like, food.
Also, can you guys see this room? It's black for me.
No, I guess.
It's what our souls feel like right now, alright?
There you go.
Oh, God! Okay, so, I would say at this point, I think... we found most of things, but at least Elk is kind of not looking the best, but he is going to start taking some of the food, at least, because if these people have been in those pits, they probably haven't eaten.
Yeah, that's actually my question. What are you guys doing right now? You have 16 starving and addle-brained people. They're no longer slaves, no longer prisoners. That you have just freed. And they are in desperate need of help. The one guy seems to be better than the, you know, most of them. So he's sort of just like trying to get them to like sit down somewhere. But what's your guys' plan going from here?
Well, yeah. So Garn actually didn't go with the rest of the group up into the chambers. He's just been tending to the people best he could since he got some healer's tools. He's just been trying to treat their poison.
Gotcha. Wait, did you reveal his name already, or was that a slip? Oh,
Garn.
Well, now we don't have to ask him his name.
Oh, Garnet.
You guys meet back up with Timmy's new character. Please roleplay amongst yourselves about what your next steps are.
How much were we able to find any rations inside? Foodstuffs?
Yeah, he said a lot of foodstuffs, right?
Yeah.
Yep,
I think we should start passing that out among...
Yeah.
What did you all find up there? Anything of import?
Yeah.
Sorry, what is your name?
Oh, my apologies. My name is Garn. G Archon Stoneborn. And yours?
Benson Black.
Name's Kezra.
Elkwood Grimm.
We were sent here to see if we could figure out what's going on in this quarry.
And we've been tracking this Scarlet Triad.
Grimwood. Elkwood Grimm, sorry. Grimm, I don't know. Dejan, no. But House Black.
Yes, I'm...
That is a name I haven't heard in a long time.
Oh, jeez.
Yes, we are a very long-lived family.
Tell me, they still in the arms business?
Yes, I have an uncle who is a weapons builder.
Let's see, what was that name again?
I'm gonna roll knowledge warfare. See if I can remember his uncle's name. 29.
Think that's high enough?
Alright, what's the name there, John?
Morris.
Morris.
Morris Black.
Yes, Morris. Morris. I applied as a contractor there many years ago, but apparently working in Teldor wasn't necessarily a boon.
Dwarf blacksmithing is expensive.
Indeed it is.
Probably just didn't want to pay you more than all those other smiths.
Dwarven craftsmanship does cost a pretty penny.
We need to get these people out of here.
Yes.
No, can we you, need to talk you... about my family for another 20 minutes.
Benson, you didn't say you had an uncle?
Have your people get up there and grab rations. We'll need them in the woods.
Yes, let's get them out of this hill.
Yep.
Did you guys say you brought some down, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, for so ourselves, duh.
Yeah.
Well, good luck.
So he takes some of the ones that he has treated and will start carrying out the crates of rations.
All right.
Yeah, and Elk's gonna set up kind of like a camp outside of the quarry, probably like a mile away, just to get away from it.
Yeah.
Because, it'll just help also. But he'll clear out spots. I don't know, you just do a survival check or whatever to make it as nice as possible.
Benson will do what he can to help Elk.
Yeah. And, yeah, like I said, like, he's being silent right now. He's not... I'll say he still kind of looks not ill. He looks slightly ill. Like, from the whole experience. But, I mean, if Laslin, if that's what she was kind of going for, a part of it kind of did mess with him, just mentally. Because it's kind of like one of those things that we've been traveling together, killing, you know, giants and, you know, all these other enemies you got from the Wongi and stuff. And it was kind of like the first time that we've actually had more innocent people just involved. Mm-hmm. And why we didn't know them and stuff like that. But it was kind of like one of those things that, like, we're sent to help. And then it's like, oh, half of them are dead. Cool. Like, he took it a little weirdly harder than he probably was thinking he was going to. So it's kind of like setting up camp is kind of keeping his mind busy as much as possible.
Yeah.
I mean,
as you guys
30
do what?
30 survival. I mean,
oh, yeah. You're focused on that. I'll say that as you guys were leaving, if you look back the quarry at all, the water goes to about 15 feet deep in the quarry.
Jeez.
Yeah. So about an hour, it just keeps rushing and rushing until it is completely under.
Elkwood, any idea why would point me in the right direction? I need to find a stream and start getting drinking water for these people.
Oh, with that 30, I could probably dictate that.
Yeah, you find the nicest stream.
Yes, because, well, I would say probably go up north a little bit, and there should be one. Plentiful, at least.
Point them this way once they get some food and...
Yes. But yeah, should be one close by. I mean, this water has to come from somewhere.
And also, Elkwood and probably Kezer has figured out at this point. Benson is fucking vibrating. Like, he's not only sad, he's fucking furious. And he's, you know, he does not... There's nothing in front of him he can hit, aside from Kezra, which is tempting. But, you know...
What did I do?
So he's going to go secure a safe passage to a watering hole for these poor people.
I think Kezra sees Elk busying himself. Sees Benson storm off into the woods. And Kezra hasn't been helping Sep at all. He carried Grimshaw back. And he's just kind of been sitting with him. And he looks like he watches Benson storm off. And he's I'm not going to bother him. And he looks to Garn. Or he tries to get your attention, signal you over.
Sure, yeah.
He's like,
so, Garn, was it?
Yes, that's right. Kezra?
Yes. You were some sort of priest.
Well, I thought I was. I don't know what I am now. I was a blacksmith by trade, but my parents raised me in the ways of Gorum, thought they'd make a cleric out of me. But I craved the blade, so a war priest I became. But when I took...
And he looks over at the Morning Star by Grimshaw.
When I took hold of that, I don't know what happened. And this...
And he's still, like, you know, basically naked, and he has that tattoo, the mountain and the sword's broken.
Now I have this. And now... I don't know.
He worshipped Milani. Do you know anything about Milani's burial rites or anything?
I'll roll a religion check on that. 27.
Sounds pretty good.
I mean, that's decent.
Jake, what do you think? Burial rites of Milani. 27 religion check.
Uncommon
yeah,
god.
I was gonna say yeah. She's well known.
Okay.
So yeah, I would say that that you would at least know. Grimshaw probably didn't stop talking about it either. So.
Now Grimshaw just never can shut up about his burial rites.
He can never shut up about Milani, and then goes, Milani, you failed me. That's
when I'm brutally ripped to pieces by a hell demon, can you please bury me this way?
Please plant a rose on my body. Like, what is the burial rite?
Yes, I am familiar with... I am quite familiar. I did a little time with some book study. They wouldn't let me just praise the name of Gorum in combat. I also had to read a few books, so I am... aware of the burial rites of others.
There's a song you sing at the grave of a bloody worshipper. Baby, if I could get you like a gift on the grave.
Seems like Benson already knows the words.
Ba-da-da.
Tell me, does it have any personal effects? Did he carry any rose seeds on him? It is quite common for a champion or worshipper of Milani to carry rose seeds. It's part of the rite. I don't think they all expect to die in combat, but
Kezra went through his clothes when he was dressing his wounds, so. Did Grimshaw have anything like that? Did he have a spare rose or seeds on him?
So he had two things. He had what looks to be some sort of petrified rose. It looks cool. Frozen in time. Kind of like the Beauty and the Beast rose.
Beauty and the Beast, I like it. I like it.
But not glowing. And it looks like it's was like dipped in blood. So like the blood on it is dried and brown. It doesn't smell rotten, but it looks as if it was dipped in blood. And he does have some rose seeds on him.
Kezra presents both of those to the Garn.
So I found this. Stinging his wounds.
Let me take a closer look at that rose.
And roll the religion check. Nat 20. Wow. I don't know how Garn would know this. It wouldn't make any sense. But
See, I know exactly what does, rose this
but he
is.
Does.
He's an old guy, right?
He is. He's been around.
How old does he look? He said he was bald.
Yeah, he's bald.
Okay.
Yeah. He's got gray in his beard, some red streaks. I'm assuming he probably cleaned up a little bit in the stream or maybe in the quarry muddy water, but you know, the caked beard's a little less caked with, you know, every sort of disgusting thing.
Hmm.
That is something that is quite precious. That is a manifestation of Milani. Very few get such a blessing. But it is said that Milani appears to her followers in various ways, and this is one as a blood-soaked rose sprouting from the ground. Perhaps it happened in a pivotal time in his life. Some people, it is the start of their conversion. Some, it is a renewal of their strength. This should go with him. And the seeds, they're just regular rose seeds. There's nothing special about them, except it's part of the rite.
You could eat them.
Yes, they are edible.
Don't eat those.
So quickly, I'm like, John, what kind of roses are they?
John, can you tell us what kind of rose seeds?
Fun fact, you know the roses you buy at a florist don't actually have any scent?
That's perfume, isn't it, that they put
on? Rose oil.
Oh, wow.
They were bred specifically for their look, and they lost their scent.
That's so sad.
Yeah, really.
That's why we have a combo. We have smelly roses and we have the pretty roses.
I sold you those roses.
Yeah, you did.
Let's see. Was it a smelly rose or was it? It was a pretty rose. It wasn't a smelly rose.
Yeah, it would be the pretty rose. It'd be the picturesque rose.
Yeah.
So you go ahead and do the rites.
Should we wait for the others? I wouldn't want to. Do this.
You
all seemed very close.
I think I need to give them some space. So, old timer, how much of that fight did you see?
Well, it was hard to see from the pit, but I heard most of it. Saw the interlocutor towering over, not hard to miss. I saw a dragon.
I think that was you?
Yes. Yes.
I had never done that before. Wasn't quite what I expected.
And when you perished on the ground, and I brought you back from Verasma's grasp, I had never done that either.
Yeah, I've never seen that one before.
Certainly not something I learned as a war priest. Part of the mystery.
I imagine Kazra is like doing knowledge checks, like what the fuck? Like thinking about now that he mentions it, he thinks back. He's like, I should be dead.
Yeah,
and I like, fucking died, man.
And
holy
then you're
shit.
Just like, I brought you back, and I'm like, what was that? I have never seen that before.
Oh. There was something, about you. Something about you, destined for greatness. I don't know what to call it, but whatever is in me, it went to you and brought you back. Yes. Yes, something about greatness. Something about greatness. Power, maybe?
Kezra, Kezra looks to your, what was it, a broken sword and a mountain?
Yeah. It's a, you know, this, it's a symbol of Gorum, yeah, but it looks a symbol of Gorum. Altered.
Yeah. And he looks at it puzzlingly, and it's like,
did I... It was hard to keep my mind focused in that state. But Grimshaw had a... He had this worm. Altered his time briefly, momentarily. Did it do that to you? I saw it zoom off.
It went through me, I think. And when it went through me, that's where things get fuzzy.
And he like tries to like think about it. You can see that as he's trying to think about it, like it's almost like his head is like hurting. Like he kind of recoils a little bit in pain. Like,
time worm, you said?
Yes, it was a strange thing that Grimshaw had, but yes, he used it to bend time. It was nothing like I've ever seen before, very strange magic. But yes, he bent and warped time. It would go great sometimes, and others, it would incapacitate him momentarily. But he could do things I've never seen other people do. And it was the source was that worm.
Alright, let me do another religion check. See if this sounds like any sort
religion
of...
religion or arcane? Because...
So, they're Aeon. It's an Aeon.
Oh, it's an Aeon, yeah, though.
So that's
yeah.
religion, right?
Yeah, so that's divine.
Yeah, that is divine.
Yeah. That's the monitor, man.
24. That's a 94.
I don't... Yeah, I don't think so.
I have no idea what that could be. It sounds divine. Only the gods mess with time that I know of. But I've never heard of that.
Maybe we can figure it out when we get back to Kintargo. There might be more resources. We've been searching. We've been tracking the Scarlet Triad for...
It's been, what, a month at this point? Between, yeah. But from the time that we first ran into them in Breach Hill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We spent a couple of weeks at the Citadel, and then we went to Kintargo.
Yeah, and then all the traveling and stuff like that, yeah.
We all knew about them in the Mwangi, though. Well, I guess you've known... Like,
we learned about them in
the...
Right. Yeah, been tracking them actively for a month.
Yeah, the first Scarlet Triad member you met was Hubert Throp, who was the... that was the first one you actually met.
Yeah.
Right, the one in Breach Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah,
before that, it was the Cinder Claws, but we found out at the end of the Mwangi that the Cinder Claws were getting their orders from the Scarlet Triad.
Yeah,
right.
They were bartering with gold and stuff in order to get power and all that crap.
So, yeah, we've been tracking them now for about a month. We were pulling on some other threads. And led us here. We went to Kintargo and ended up learning of this quarry. And,
Should have lost my train of thought. What was I going to ask you?
How did you get captured by them? What were you doing before they found you?
Wrong place, wrong time, it seems. Everyone I know... dead. I was in a settlement in Taldor. That's where I earned my bread. And... Scarlet Triad... hit my village. If they didn't kill, they took the strongest of us and then began to whittle us down. I don't know if it was intentional. The way they talked about us didn't seem that way. Just seemed like the lucky or the strong survived. Separated from my family. Don't know if they made it or not.
I don't know how long it's been, though. Those blasted drugs just kept me from day and night, sun and moon, it all blurs together. One minute, having a nice meal with my family. The next, chaos. And then here. That's it. That's all I remember. Maybe there's more. But they seemed to be pretty quick in sedating their captures.
Tador's far. I spent time there for a brief moment. Just out in the country. It's a long way.
Yes, I was in the, And he's, like, scratching his head. Ah, yes. It is, like, the drug's still wearing off. I lived in the World's Edge province. From a small town of Faldemont. Not all of us died, I don't think. I don't know what happened. I don't know who's left. We're like 2,000 strong there. Don't think they killed everyone. Maybe just some of us. I don't know.
We've lost now two companions to them. When we first encountered them, we lost my dear old friend. Now here, lost Grimshaw.
Grimshaw, was it?
Yes.
My condolences. A worthy way to die.
Yes, he.
I know Melanius was pleased. I know Gorham is too.
He died freeing the captive, freeing the oppressed. Can't imagine a better way for him to go. Or at least more under better conditions, considering his beliefs.
Well,
so what is your plan?
Ever since I was captured, I declared war on the Scarlet Triad. Gorham has a saying, blood, not rust. It means that you should always be ready. You should let your equipment rust from age and misuse. But you should be ready. And I have been waiting. Though my mind was not always sharp, I knew that as soon as I had my opportunity, that Gorham would grant me the opportunity, that I would declare war on them. And it seems like I have found others in the army already.
Okay. Well, help us get these people back to the city. Then we can talk.
What city? Where are we?
Oh, yeah.
We're in...
Yeah, tell me where you are.
We're in Old Jellyax. We are near Cantago, to the
by
south.
By the gods, from Jellyax.
I wasn't lying when I said you were far from home.
Yeah, that would be disorienting as living hell. You've been drugged up and then trafficked.
Moved to the complete other side. Basically moved to California, where you were.
Yeah, literally, Talador to ride to Ravenel is that.
The last time he was fucking peyote.
He's like, actually, it didn't even drug me. I did it myself. God, man. Yeah,
gosh.
Yeah, like, you gotta think, too. Like, we have, 16 of these people that are still fairly... You said the addle brain or the addle mind status. Mm-hmm. It wears off after a day or something?
Yeah, the last stage lasts a day.
Okay.
So
I mean, like, we can always nudge them along, but I think today will be more resting because everyone got the shit beat out of them, except Helm, because he was out of danger. Perks of being distant. Actually, I'm trying to remember if he actually got shot. I don't think he did, but Vemir definitely did. So he's been.
Yeah, I was trying really hard to kill Vemir.
You keep trying. And he'll keep coming up. Hey, you know what? You know, for the hell of it, he ate Laszlo's body. Boom, there you go.
You know,
you know,
why not?
You know what? He got 18 hit points back.
As we were, like, walking off to the cave, the background just, like, goes into focus on Vamir, just gulping her body down.
Just destroying and eating her body.
I like to think he, like, hobbled over to Grimshaw. He's like, you gonna eat that?
You know, eat that spliced up guy. You know, like,
well, he's good, right? He's fresh.
Nah, that would be something like that. Elgar would be like, no. You can go after the other bodies, but
go find Dad.
Oh gosh, but like, this is like also a thing too. Like, we're, you know, outside this quarry and stuff like this, and we're resting and stuff. But it's like, I think Elk at this point, uncharacteristically, he's going to take one of those bottles of liquor and just start drinking it. Like, he's trying to get something out. Like, he already set up the camp. He's responsible. So,
yeah.
Everything's set up.
He did his work.
Yeah, I did.
Everybody's comfortable.
He gets his drink on.
Yeah. I will say, at some point in the day, you hear a giant crash as a tree falls down.
He's just... switching his sword over to an axe and just chopping trees.
I mean, if you go look, yeah, it's a giant tree, and he didn't use a bladed weapon.
hammered it.
I hammered it.
Or
down.
He Minecrafted it and punched it.
And he's just standing there like, firewood. And this is a huge fucking tree.
Yeah. Yeah, and then like that's something you'll see Elk just kind of like walking up, half stumbling, looks at it, and hands the bottle to him.
Just downs a very not okay amount.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, and that's one thing that Elk would do, probably away from the eyes of Kezra or ears of Kezra and new buddy Garn. Well. I thought this... Sorry, my thoughts are a bit muddled. You know, back when we started this, you know, I liked the idea of being a hero. I still remember that time, leaving Breach Hill and getting our first, you know, mission to Alterine. And I think something just sort of started to break a little bit during this one. Something I didn't tell you is when we left the Mwangi, I had a vision of something happening. And I remember in my visions that I saw Adelar die. Now, that was one. Then I saw Kezra die. And then he kind of looks up at Benson, and then, as well as you. Now, I thought for a moment that Kezra did die. He was tracked back from the depths of the Boneyard, at least. But, I mean, as long as we're going to do this, and I've never seen you so beaten in your life during this combat, I'm, dare I say, worried about all the things going on. That the fact that these people, these slavers, seem to know more and more about us, the more that they actually know where Breach Hill is. What's the next step? He kind of like, the bottle comes back, he's just swigging it back, and he's kind of like, he's angry, he's sad, like he's all flustered, like he's having all these different emotions coming out at once. And he doesn't like it, but it's kind of like one of those things that if you see someone die, and technically, I mean, he did see Kezra die. He got brought back, but...
Yeah. Well, the next step is we keep going. That's it. That's all you can do. If you really do want to be a hero, Elkwood, believe me, I've been the hero of my family since I was 13 years old. And it doesn't matter how good you do. This is always there. Believe me. Sometimes the greatest curse a hero can have is that he's always the one left over when everyone I wanted to help out dies. And sure, you maybe did a couple of good things, you saved people, you did a goddamn good job, but you don't feel that way at the end of the day. You feel like this line of work, our calling, it chews you up and it spits you back out. And you have to learn how to deal with that. I haven't done it yet. It's just you always end up living on. And I look to the gods to help me with this. You found a new god in that bottle, and don't drink too much of it tonight. I need your eyes.
Yes, of course.
When everyone kind of comes back to the fire, whatever we have going, Garn is going to look at Benson and Elkwood.
Kesra came to me earlier and asked me about burial rites for Grimshaw. I do know them, as I have studied many religions. But I do not know if you would like me to do them. I don't know if there is someone else you would prefer. But I do have everything I need for it here.
It probably in his mind, he just kind of like holds his arms open and just kind of like looks around and goes, who else would be more qualified at this point? You came in. You struck down our foes. You've earned it. And then he pulls out the multi-tool, because I keep forgetting I had that. Yeah. And then it just, like, he kind of clicks it. Boom, it's a shovel. Just tell me what to do.
Yes, we will need to dig. Need to find a spot where a rose can grow.
John, where can a rose grow?
You want to watch moisture, any place too damp, you want to stay away from it. They love sunlight, as much sunlight as you can throw at them. We are in a fucking forest.
So a nice sunny hill.
Okay, yeah,
nice sunny hill.
Let's find a clearing, and we can go there.
All right. You guys proceed with the funeral rites, and it's very somber, this moment. And Garn, you did not know him, but you can tell that he made a name for himself in this group. And when you're finished, everybody kind of goes back to just sort of sit alone or to drink and talk or whatever they want to do. Two things happen. Elkwood, you see what appears to be a woman standing in the direction of the quarry. You can barely see her silhouette, but she is looking at you expectantly. Additionally, you all level up.
Oh boy.
Yes! I'm fucking believable.
I'll see you guys next time.
I'm fucking believable.
Oh my god.
Hey there, Jake the GM here. I'm sure you are tired of us talking about getting more dice for Misty Mountain Gaming. But here's the thing. You probably want to know where you can keep your dice that you buy from there in a safe, secured, and yet stylish way. Well, make sure to check out their dice vault over on MistyMountainGaming.com. They can hold from 1 to 2 dice sets, all in a nicely stylized box with magnetic seals and fantastic engraving. Some of my personal favorites are the Astrolabe, Cthulhu, and Nevermore engraved dice vaults.
All of these are sealed wonderfully with a fine wood finish. Make sure to check them out over on MistyMountainGaming.com and make sure to use Dragon Punch Squad at checkout for an extra 10% off. See you in the next episode.